aire ara. Patita pavana prabhu namavatara mosama patita prabhu napaive ara patita pavana etu Patita prabhu na paibe ara Aha prabhu nityananda premananda sukhi kripa bolokana koro Ami varaduki Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi Kripa Bolokana Koro Ami varaduki Aha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi Kripa Bolokana Koro Ami Varaduki Aha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi Bolokana koro ami boro duki doya koro sita pati advaita gosai tava kripa bale pai chaitanya nitai Sita Pati Advaita Gosai Kripa Bale Pa Chaitanya Nitya Nayakura Sita Pati Advaita Gosai Tava kripa vale pai Chaitanya nitai Daya kora sita pati Advaita gosai Tava kripa vale pai Aha Swarup Sanatana Rupa Raghunatha Bhata Jivasi Jiva Prabhu Lokanatha Aha Swarup Sanatana Rupa Raghunatha Bhata Juga Shri Jivaha Prabhu Lokanatha Aha Swarup Sanatana Rupa Raghunatha Bhata Juga Shri Jivaha Prabhu Lokanatha स्वरूप सनातना रूपा रघुनाथ युग श्री जीवा प्रभो लोकनाथ दया करो श्री आचार्य प्रभु श्री निवास रामचंद्र संगमागे नरोत्तम दया करो श्री आचार्य गे नरोत्तम दया करो श्री आचार्य प्रभु श्रीनिवास रामचंद्र संगमागे नरोत्तम श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु दया करो मोरे तोमाविना के दयालु जगत संसारे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु दया करो मोरे जगत संसारे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु दया करो मोरे तोमाविना के दयालु जगत संसारे दया करो मोरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा Rama Rama Hare Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Парварати Качарья Стутрасата, Шишимата Бая Чарнарвинда Бхактивиданта Свами Сила Прабхупада Киджай, Ананда Коти Вайшнава Вринда Киджай, Намачарья Сила Ридаста Куркиджай, Прем Сакоху Шри Кришна Чайтанья Прабхунита Ананда, Шри Адвайта Гададхара Шиваса Дигора Бхакта Вринда Киджай, Шиши Рада Кришна Гоп Гопината, Шьяма Кунда Рада Кунда Гири Говардана Киджай, Шри Вриндаван Дама Киджай, Шри Навадвипа Дама Киджай, Ганга Майя ки джай, Ямуна Майя ки джай, Туласи Деви ки джай, Бхакти Деви ки джай, Шри Шри Радха Ван Бихари ки джай, Шри Чайтанья Махапрабху ки джай, Шри Шри Гаура Пурнима Махамахотсава ки джай, Гаура Премананди Самавета Бхактавринда ки джай. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda So today, this day of Gaura Purnim, we'll read the 84th verse of the 6th chapter of Madhya Lila, the liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It is Sachi Sunvastaka, which we chanted. Is also his composition, and we will touch a little bit of it as well. So that's actually the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 14th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 29th verse. Atha api te deva pada ambuja Dvaya prasada lesha anugrahitaha eva hi janati tattvam bhagavat mahimnaha na cha Anya ekaha api chiram vichinvan athapite deva padambuja dvaya athapite deva padambuja dvaya prasadalesha anugrahita eva hi Prasada leshanu grahita evahi Janati tatvam bhagavan vimahimno Janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno Nachanye ko pichiram vichinvan Начаньеко пичирам вачинван Атхапите дева падамбуджа двая Прасада лешану грихита эйвахи Джанати татвам бхагаван махимно Начаньеко пичирам вичинван Prasada Vishanu Grihita Evahi. Prasada Vishanu Grihita Evahi. Janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno
Janati
kopi chiram vachinvan
Atapite deva padam bujadvaya
Prasana lishyanu grahite vahi Janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno Nachanye ko pichiran vichinvan
Atapite deva padam bujadvaya Prasad leshan vihitae vahi Janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno Nachanye ko pichiran vichinvan Atapite deva padam bujadvaya Prasad leshan vihitae vahi Janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno
Atham, therefore, Ati, indeed, Te, your, Deva, O my Lord, Pada Ambujadvaya, the two lotus feet, Prasada, of the mercy, Lesha, by only a trace, Anugrihitaha, favored, Eva, certainly, he, indeed, Janati, one knows, Tattvam, the truth, Bhagavat, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahimnaha, of the greatness, Na, never. Cha, and. Anyaha, another. Eka, one. Api, although. Chiram, for a long period. Vichinvan, speculating. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. Purport. The verse quoted above is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.29. The Brahma Samhita states, Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the ultimate goal of knowledge, Vedaischa sarvaya rahameva vidyah, one who is not a pure devotee and who is not engaged in the service of the Lord cannot understand Him. Lord Brahma, therefore, confirms this, Vedeshu Durlabham. It is very difficult to understand the Supreme Lord simply through one's studies. Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. However, it's very easy for devotees to capture the Lord. The Lord is known as Ajita, unconquerable. No one can conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the Lord consents to be conquered by His devotees. That is His nature. As stated in the Padma Purana, Atah Shri Krishna Namadi, Nabhavit Grahyam Indriyai, Sevon Mukhehi Jihvado, Svayam Evas Puratya Daha. Being pleased by devotional activities, the Lord reveals himself to his devotees. That is the way to understand him. The verse from Srimad Bhagavatam quoted by Gopinatha Acharya was originally spoken by Lord Brahma when he was defeated by Lord Krishna. Lord Brahma has stolen all the cows and cowherd boys in order to test Krishna's power. Lord Brahma admitted that his own extraordinary powers within the universe were not in the least comparable to the unlimited powers of Lord Krishna. If Lord Brahma can make a mistake in understanding Krishna, what to speak of ordinary persons who ever misunderstand Krishna or falsely present a so-called incarnation of Krishna for their own sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitamscha He Krishna Nasindu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopisha Gopika Kantam Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Hajanu Lambita Bujaukana Kavadatu Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yuga Dharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataru Yantah Pravishyam Avavacham Imam Prasuptam Sanjeevaya Takila Shakti Darasvadamna Anyamscha Hasta Charana Shravana Tvagadim Prananamo Bhagavate Purushaya Tubhyam Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayasta Dhamma Vrindavanam Ramyaka Chidupasana Vrajavadu Vargena Yakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumartha Mahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradaro Naparaham Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Hladini Shakti Rasmat Ekatmana Fapibhuvi Pura Deha Ma deha bheda gato to chaitanya kyam prakatam aduna tadvayam chaikyam aptam radha bhava dyuti suvalitam naomi krishna svarupam Hare Krishna. So I will speak a little bit and after me His Grace Kunte Prabhu, who is the GBC minister and a very wonderful devotee, will also speak on this subject matter. of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So what I wanted to talk about a little bit is how to understand the Lord. How do we know that Lord Chaitanya is God? And how we can understand Him and how we can please Him. Because without understanding a person, his inner desires, his moods, it's not possible to please Him. The goal of life is to please the Lord. But in order to please the Lord, we should definitely very clearly understand His nature and His desires and His mood. And therefore, I have chosen this particular verse, and I will talk a little bit about the context of this verse during the course of my lecture. But in the beginning, I want to say is that we are living in Kali Yuga, if you didn't notice yet. And perhaps living here in Vada farm, you may not notice that you're living in Kali Yuga. You may easily forget about this, but we are living in Kali Yuga. And not only in Kali Yuga, but in the worst of the whole of all Kali Yugas. Our acharyas explain that this particular Kali Yuga we are living in is the worst and the most horrible of all Kali Yugas that were and that will be. So it's a very special privilege to live in this time. And generally speaking, everyone is confused in Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada mentions at the end of the purport that people, either they don't believe in God, majority of people don't believe in God, or if they believe in God, they believe in some concocted incarnation, so-called incarnation, for their own pleasure. They invent incarnations. And therefore this question about the divinity of Lord Chaitanya is even more pertinent and important for us. Because there are so many incarnations, and most of them are coming from Bengal. So, in this Kali Yuga, it's just incarnation after incarnation after incarnation. And most of them are Bengalis. So, what is the difference between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all these so-called incarnations, which are coming in Kali Yuga for, as Srila Prabhupada says, people invent for their own sense gratification. And this particular question or this particular topic is being dealt with in this section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I will explain. And of course, the disease in Kali Yuga is very severe. As we all know, the disease of consciousness, which is the main problem for the conditioned living entities. Every single conditioned living entity is sick, mentally sick. Srila Prabhupada, he wrote a famous pamphlet, famous leaflet, Who is Crazy? Because when he started his preaching in America, you know, so-called, quote-unquote, normal people considered devotees to be crazy. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he gave a little speech, Who is crazy in this world? But, you know, with all certainty we can say that everyone in this material world is crazy. We're all mentally sick, including us. You know, we're maybe a little less sick, but we are. We want to get a little better, but ultimately everyone is sick, and there is a severe disease. And as the degradation goes on according to the yuga pattern, from Sattva Yuga, Satya Yuga to Dvapara Yuga to Treta Yuga to Kali Yuga. People become more and more and more sick. You know, there's, if you want any proof, I don't know if you're allowed to do this, but you can just look in the internet. You will see the extent of the disease, of the sickness of people in Kali Yuga. It's severe. It's really severe. And therefore, Lord comes every yuga. He says it himself in Bhagavad Gita. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam. Dharmasam stapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Every yuga I come. So the Lord, there is no doubt about it, the Lord comes every yuga to help people of this of every age, of any age. Because without His grace, because without His mercy, it's not possible to get rid of this sickness, which is the characteristics of all living entities in this material world. But because people are so sick in this Kali Yuga, the medicine which Lord Chaitanya brings with Him, the incarnation of this age, is also the most powerful. You know, sometimes people become so sick, they can't even digest the normal medicine. For medicine to work, it should be digested. If the medicine is not digested, then it will not work. But people of this age, you know, normal medicine will not work for this age. And of course, we know the sickness and the disease of this world is envy. And we can see how envious people are in this world. So envious. So unbelievably envious. I don't know how it is in India. Maybe India is not a place where envious people live, but the rest of the world is just unbelievable. You know, I'm just coming from Russia, and in Russia, you know, all of a sudden there is this war broke out with, you know, fellow neighbors, Ukraine. And the propaganda machine of the age of Kali is so severe that it creates enmity and envy and hate. It's just unbelievable. You know, just a few years back, those two countries were living very peacefully. A few months back. But now there is such a severe hatred. It's just unbelievable. And envy is the most difficult disease to overcome. Sometimes people say that karma is disease. Karma is disease. But karma is it's a little flu. Sometimes we think that karma is a very severe disease. No, it's not a severe disease. The cancer is envy, matsarya. And therefore Lord Chaitanya, the incarnation of this age, he comes with the remedy for this disease, for disease of envy. And we have to really clearly understand what he wants from us and how this medicine of bhakti should be administrated so that we can ultimately overcome this disease of envy. This is actually the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Paramonir Matsaranam Satam, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra, Paramonir Matsaranam Satam. From the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the disease is pointed out. The disease is matsarya. And how to get rid of this disease, for that Srimad Bhagavatam is given. And we can see this progression. It's very important for us to understand that the mercy is always there. The mercy of the Lord is always upon the living entities because He is the loving Father. But the mercy is greater when the disease is more severe. It's usually when the mother has many, many children, whom she loves the most? Yeah, the one who is the most sick. The one who is the weakest, who is the, you know, if she has to spend a lot of time tending upon this child, her love becomes more and more and more. In the same way, the extent of mercy which is given to us is greater than which is given to any other people in any other time or yuga. Previously, before this age of Kali. And the Lord Chaitanya, therefore, is the most merciful incarnation. He is giving the strongest medicine for us without asking for any qualification from us. And I recently heard a lecture by Bhakti Purushottam Swami. He gave a very nice explanation of the progression, how the progression goes, which is also important for us to understand, how the evolution of consciousness goes together with the degradation of consciousness. With the progression of this age, the degradation is definitely taking place, but paradoxically enough, the evolution also takes place. Because the mercy is also coming in a greater doses for people of this age. So he said that previously there was this Vedic Yuga, the Vedic age. And during this Vedic age, the process was Yajna, and the book was Samhita and Brahmana, which explained how to perform Yajna. And the goal was heavenly planets. And then he said, after the age of Vedas, when the age of Vedas was finished, then the next age was the age of Darshanas, Darshanic age, when the philosophies developed, and the process for this age was Jnana Yoga or meditation, and the literature was Upanishads, and the goal was the impersonal liberation. And then he said, after that, the darshanas, this age was finished around maybe 1,000 years back or 1,500 years back. And then after that, the Puranic age started. And the Puranic yuga, the Puranic period started. And of course, Puranas became the main book for the people of this age. And the process which they recommend is Sakama Bhakti. And after that, and the goal of this Sakama Bhakti is to get something from the Lord and ultimately to get the liberation, to get personal liberation. Darshanic age, the goal is impersonal liberation. The Puranic age, the goal is personal liberation, Salokya Mukti or Sarshti or Samipya or Sarupya Mukti. Then he says, then the age of Bhagavatam comes. Bhagavata Yuga. We are living, you know, the crown jewel of all the Vedic literature, Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Palam, the ripened fruit of all the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam, is the main scripture of the Bhagavatam age. And the process for this age is Nishkam Bhakti. And the goal of this process of Nishkam Bhakti is just to perform Bhakti, because it's Nishkam. The Bhakti for the sake of Bhakti. You don't want anything from this Bhakti, you just want more Bhakti and more Seva, and this is the goal. But then he says that after Bhagavatam age starts Hare Krishna age. Hare Krishna Yuga. And we are fortunate enough to live in this very difficult time of Hare Krishna Yuga, where he says that the main book is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which contains the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even while reading Srimad Bhagavatam, you can be confused. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that Srimad Bhagavatam is like Mahini Murti. And we know Mahini Murti, she is just confusing. She gives the nectar to the devotees, but she confuses the demons. And so many people study Srimad Bhagavatam and their conclusion is Kaivalya Eka Prayojanam. It's one of the last verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam itself, it says, Shukadev Goswami says, Kaivalyam Eka Prayojanam. The Prayojana, the goal is Kaivalya. Kaivalya means impersonal liberation. So, and this is one of these verses to confuse the demons. This is how Srimad Bhagavatam acts as Mahini Murti. So, you can be confused even by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, but you cannot be confused by reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it will become crystal clear to you, 100% clear, 108% clear, who is the Lord and what He wants from us. What is the nature of the Lord and what He wants us to give and what is the goal of all Vedic literature. And therefore, it is said that the goal of Bhagavatam age was Nishkam Bhakti. But the goal of Hare Krishna age is Prema Bhakti. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita itself makes it extremely clear. Even though it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam as well, from the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is very clearly established that yatma suprasidati, you can become happy, which is the goal of all our pursuits, which is the goal of any philosophy, is to become happy. Yatma suprasidati, you can become happy only if you do ahaitukya pratihata bhakti. But even prema is somewhat concealed in Srimad Bhagavatam. I recently was engaged in some debate with some Russian followers of Madhvacharya. Slightly crazy people. I mean, nice people, but very aggressive. And they were saying, you know, because they're followers of Madhvacharya, they said, you know, all these Gaudiyas, they just concocted this goal, prema. Prema is not there in Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no prema in Vedic literature, or sometimes if they mean prema, prema means just some sentimental love. The goal is moksha. And funny enough, it's really funny. To prove the point, they quoted one verse from the 9th chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, among the, you know, the prayers of Bhishmadev, the departure of Bhishmadev. And they say, see, Bhishmadev explained dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Therefore, the goal of Srimad Bhagavatam is dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. You know, I'm just giving this example to let you know how one can be confused. They know Sanskrit. They know perfect Sanskrit. They quote so many verses and commentaries and this and that. Still, they're totally confused while reading Srimad Bhagavatam. They take the verse which has no significance in the context of Srimad Bhagavatam whatsoever, saying that Bhishmadev explained dharma, artha, kama and moksha, and they completely overlook the prayers of Bhishmadev, which he gives in the last moment of their time, where he says, please give me rati, please give me prem. And then, incidentally, he says, you know, the gopis, they love you, and I want you to love as gopis to love. You know, the great Bhishmadev, the great warrior, he remembers about the cowherd girls of Vrindavan in his last moment. So it's clear in Srimad Bhagavatam, but at the same time, not everyone understands this. But again, Only the followers of Lord Chaitanya who read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and who understand that this is the cream, the essence of all Vedic literature, they can understand that the goal of all human endeavors is prema bhakti, not just bhakti, not just nishkam bhakti, prema bhakti. Prema pumarta mahan. Therefore, it is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu matam idam tatra darona paraha. We follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and we don't care what anyone else has to say. We don't care what anyone else, if this is contrary to what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought to us, we don't care about this. But to be convinced in this, we have to be really sure that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself. And in this particular verse, which we read today, Adhapita Deva Padam Bhujadvaya, Prasada Lishona Grahita Eva Hi, Janati Tatvam Bhagavan Mahimno, Nachanya Ekam Pichiram Vichinvan. It is very clearly said that it is said how you can understand God and how you cannot understand God. And we start with the first part, with the second part, how you cannot understand God. It is very clearly said, Nachanya eko pichiram vichinvan, even if you think for a long time, and even if you have brain like the brain of Brahma, and even if you have four brains like Brahma has. In his four heads there are four brains. And you turn it on simultaneously. You know, and you for a long time, and Lord Brahma, he knows what long time means. When he says he chiran, it means chiran in the scale of Lord Brahma, not our scale. You know, sometimes we think 2 weeks is a long time. You know, if I have to think for 2 weeks, it's a long time. No, it's a very short time. But Lord Brahma here says that even if you think for a very long time, even if you really strain your brain to the maximum of your abilities, you will not be able to understand God to the slightest extent. And that's the mistake which people of this age usually do, because they think that they can understand God, but by the power of their own brain or their own mind, their own abilities. I have to deal with many of such people, because usually, strictly speaking, people of this age are very logical, rational. And the further you go to the West, the more logical people and the more rational people become. Here in India, people are still have some heart. And the West, there is no heart, only brain. Big brain, shunya instead of the heart. Just big zero instead of the heart. Really? If you don't believe it, go to America. You know, sometimes Indian people think, you know, it's so nice in America. There was one very nice story that I think Siddharth Maharaj once told the story that in the Calcutta temple, when Srila Prabhupada started this Calcutta temple, one Bengali young boy joined, and he was serving so nicely and he was so enthusiastic. And then ultimately Siddharth Maharaj asked him, why did you join? What do you want? Why you're nicely serving? What is your goal? He said, because here there are all these white people, all these Americans. And if I associate with them, I will think about them at the end of death, at the time of death, and then I will get, I will be born in America. That's my goal in joining Krishna consciousness. So, Sometimes people think that America is a nice country. It's a horrible country. Indians go there and they become totally, completely useless because there is no heart there. Again, as I said, this is the characteristics of Kali Yuga, only brain, no heart. And you cannot understand Krishna, God, by your brain. You can feel him by heart. Sometimes people go to Vrindavan, and when they go to Vrindavan, they have, if they have heart, they have some feeling. God is there. You know, I know so many people, they just go there and they say, oh, phew, yeah, God must be there. Once I brought Russian, very highly placed governmental person to Vrindavan, and I was really afraid to do it, but I thought, let me try to do it. There's only one chance, you know. Either he gets something from Vrindavan or he will be just totally lost. And I was surprised. Initially, he was so, he looked in Vrindavan and he was like this. He saw this hogs and, you know, and the garbage on the street, and I was even afraid to look at him. I was so nervous. he was gentle. He didn't say anything. He was very polite, but I could see that, you know, what's going on in his mind. But at the end of the day, I only brought him for one day. I thought overdose would be too much for him. You know? So for one day, at the end of the day, he was completely transformed. He was saying, you know, this is the nicest place I have ever seen, you know. You know, and maybe God is there and maybe he's Krishna. So sometimes when people do have some heart, they can feel God is there. They may feel some mercy of God, they may feel when they chant, you know, that something is coming to them. But when they don't have heart, you know, how will they feel? You know, they will chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Sometimes they, you know, from a rational point of view, they will chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is why Hare Krishna? Why not Hare something else? Why Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare? Oh, yes, this is a little strange, you know. it's very difficult. If you have this rational mind and rational outlook and rational attitude towards everything, you know, this Hare Krishna is very difficult. It's extremely difficult. You know. And especially when it comes to pay obeisances, it's very difficult. You know, once also one, you know, person came to Hare Krishna temple, and then, you know, I asked him, how did you like the whole thing? He said, yeah, I liked this, you know, when they were jumping. But then, you know, all of a sudden they were looking something on the floor and I couldn't understand what that... I couldn't understand what's going on. It's very difficult to understand this. What they're looking on the floor, you know. They're looking Krishna on the floor. This is what they're looking for. Anyways, so the point is that here Lord Brahma says that, you know, I've been trying to apply this method. It actually was the problem of Lord Brahma because he was trying to understand God in a rational way. And Krishna is totally irrational. Krishna is a typical Indian, so he's absolutely... he's not rational. He lives by heart. God, of course, he has brain. There's no doubt about it. But his main characteristic of God is heart, is love. The main thing about God is love. And, you know, Lord Brahma, he wanted to understand God intellectually. It is actually the explanation of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he says that this Brahma-Vimohana Leela is the explanation of this futile attempt to understand God by your intellectual endeavors. If you try to understand God by your intellectual endeavors, you will be baffled. You will be totally bewildered at the end of the day. So this is not the way to understand God. And Lord Chaitanya, when he comes, he also wants to show this point to us. This is a very important point. You know, sometimes we want to be philosophical, and that's good. And we definitely should have a philosophical understanding of who God is. But we should not overestimate the power of philosophy in the matter of understanding God and getting His mercy. Ultimately, we have to understand that it is very clearly explained here by Srila Prabhupada. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto. You know, you can study the Vedas, you can study the Vedic literature for yugas and still will not understand God. Durlabham, it's very difficult, it's very rare to understand God just by studying, just by your intellectual endeavors. And Lord Chaitanya, why I wanted to first start with it, because Lord Chaitanya in his life, he showed this because he came as a devotee to teach us how you can understand God and how you cannot understand God. And in his early pastimes, he was displaying these pastimes of being a scholar. And he ultimately wanted to teach us that this is very futile. He was the greatest logician. He was the greatest rational person. But his point of displaying this pastime, why did he display this pastime, is to drive home this important point. Don't try to understand God logically. It's futile. It's totally useless. It doesn't have any sense. You cannot understand God logically. You know, Lord Chaitanya, or Nimai Pandit, as he was known at that time, was the greatest logician of the time. By far the greatest logician of the time. We know that at that time, Navadvip was something like Harvard University of this age, you know, the best university, the topmost university of the world is Harvard University, Boston Harvard University. And Navadvipa was this university. If you wanted to get a position in the society, you had to go to Navadvipa. If you wanted to be recognized as a scholar, you had to get a diploma from Navadvipa University, from Navadvipa MIT or whatever, NIT, Navadvipa, whatever. So, Institute of Technology. You had to have this particular credential to be recognized in the Vedic society at the time of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya came and he displayed such a power of logic that no one could really even come close to him. You know, at one point, after finishing his study in Gangadas Upadhyaya, Mahopadhyaya school, Lord Chaitanya entered the school of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. For some time, in the very beginning of his age, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, before he moved to Orissa, to Puri, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the greatest professor in Navadvip. He was by far the greatest. I will tell his story a little later when we come to this episode. But in his school, in the school of Vasudeva Sarvabhauma, there were thousands of disciples, literally thousands. People were eager. It was so difficult to enter this school. People were eager to listen to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's explanation of Navya-Nyaya. This school of Navya-Nyaya, he was the master. And he was, famous all over the world. Anyway, I will tell the story a little later. But among all the students of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Raghunath Shiromani was the greatest. He even was greater than Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya himself. Raghunath Shiromani was elder contemporary of Lord Chaitanya, and Raghunath Shiromani, everyone knew he's genius. His book, which is the commentary, Didhiti, which is the commentary on Tattva Chintamani, on the original book of Gangesh Mahopadhyaya from Bihar, is still very famous. You know, people now read this book on logic, Didhiti, and, they can't understand anything. So this Raghunath Shiromani, and ultimately he even eclipsed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. His fame, the fame of Raghunath Shiromani, eclipsed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So I wanted to tell you a little story from the life of Nimai Pandit for us to appreciate how great scholar and logician Nimai Pandit was. Nimai Pandit was a boy. He was basically maybe 13 years old. He was the youngest. Raghunath Shiromani was perhaps 25 years old or something like this. He was quite seasoned. And Lord Chaitanya, he was playing games and he was swimming in Ganga and he was, pulling the brahmanas by the leg when they were chanting their mantra in Ganga. And at the same time, he goes to the school of... And he's professor himself. He has his own disciples and, the professors in Navadvip, he's the youngest one. He's by far the youngest one, and professors of Navadvip, they were totally ashamed by his behavior. Because if you are a professor, you have to behave yourself in a certain way, right? You can just swim in Ganga and, pull brahmanas on the leg. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, somehow or other, he's just, He teaches the disciple, he has many disciples, he goes to the school of the best professor in the Navadvip, and at the same time he's doing all this prank, and sometimes he's just running with his own students, playing some games with his own students, and all the professors in Navadvip, they were just, they were completely, totally, my goodness, what's going on? But they couldn't dare to say anything to him, because they knew, if you tell something to him, he will tell you something which you will not be able to answer. You will never be able to make anything. So they were a little careful about this. Anyway, so once, and they were studying in the same school of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya with this Raghunath Shiromani. And once he came to this Raghunath Shiromani home to discuss something, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, little Nimai Pandit, who was only 13 or maybe 14 years old, a little teenager, he comes to Raghunath Shiromani, and it's late. The sun is already setting. And Raghunath Shiromani, he just started cooking his meal, which is very unusual because you're supposed to cook your meal around noon. So Nimai Pandit asked Raghunath Shiromani, hey, Raghunath, what's going on? Why are you eating so late? Why are you only cooking your lunch now? He said, because this Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, our teacher, he gave me such one logical puzzle. And this logical puzzle was so difficult, and I was trying to understand this logical puzzle, and I was working hard and hard and hard and hard, and finally by now, just recently, for the whole day I was doing it, since yesterday I was trying to, you know, to this riddle, to solve this riddle. Ultimately I understood this logical riddle and I know the answer. You know, it took me almost 24 hours to solve this logical problem. And Nimai Pandit says, oh, so what's the problem? What's the puzzle? And Raghunath Sri Romani very proudly says, this is the puzzle. This is what he gave to me. This is the logical puzzle. He said, oh yeah, really? This is the puzzle. Oh, this is the solution. And he gives the solution right there on the spot. Raghunath Sri Romani was completely, totally humiliated. It took him, the genius brain like him, the whole day to try to solve this logical problem. He couldn't solve this problem. He ultimately solved this problem. But Nimai Pandit just did it like this. And then, you know, there is this famous story which Srila Radhanand Maharaj sometimes tells, that Raghunath Sri Romani at that time, he was writing this Diditi, this commentary on Tattva Chintamani, this famous book on Nyaya. And they were going together, they were friends actually with Nimai Pandit. And once they were going together in a boat to the toll of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. And he mentioned to Nimai Pandit that he's writing this book on Tattva Chintamani. And Nimai Pandit said, oh, and I have already written my book, commentary on this Tattva Chintamani. I have written. And Raghunath, he says, can I hear your book? And he's very careful because he knows if he asked, you know, he would never read this book before his own book, before it's published. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit says, yeah, of course, I will write to you. I will read to you the whole book. What's the problem? No problem. So tomorrow I will do it. So tomorrow, next day, they are going again in a boat to the school, and Nimai Pandit took his book and he started reading to him. And when he was started reading this book to Raghunath Sri Romani, Raghunath Sri Romani became more and more morose and morose and morose, and ultimately he became totally, completely devastated. And in the end, because he heard this explanation and he understood that this explanation is by far much more brilliant and much more concise and much more original than his own explanation. And he knew that, you know, my book will be just a garbage, will be in garbage bin if this book will ever be published. And he started crying. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's very innocent. He says, Raghunath, why are you crying? And he's crying and crying and crying. He cannot stop crying. So ultimately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Raghunath, what's wrong? Why are you crying? He said, because I have been writing my commentary on this book for 2 years. And if your book will be published, my book will be nowhere. How can I not cry? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, really? This is the reason why you're crying? So simple. No problem. He takes his book and throws it in the Ganges. Don't cry, Raghunath. Don't cry. So he wants to show again, this is one little pastime which I wanted to tell in the beginning, that he wants to show how futile these logical pursuits in understanding God are. Ultimately, if you want to understand God, you have to get His mercy. And that's the point of this verse of Lord Brahma. Janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno. If you want to really understand the glory of the Lord, if you really want to understand the magnificence and opulence and sweetness of the Lord, then prasada lishanu grahi na evahi, if you don't get a little speck of mercy of the Lord, you will not be able to understand it. So this particular verse is quoted by Gopinath Acharya in his conversation with Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, and this is another story which I wanted to tell to make this point very clear, how you can understand the Lord and how you can get the mercy of the Lord. Because it's not enough just to understand that you can understand the Lord by getting his mercy. The next question comes, how you get his mercy? What is the way to get the mercy of the Lord, and how to be convinced that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself? So for that, this section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is very important. Of course, I'm talking too long. Do we have some time limit, or what is the schedule? Because I also... No? Sure? Okay. Anyway, I will not be so... I will tell you this story. It's actually a very nice story. We know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left his companions. When he took sannyas, he had five people with him who traveled from Katwa to... from Shantipur to Jagannath Puri. Nityananda Prabhu was there, Mukunda was there, and of course Jagannananda was there. So the whole time Lord Chaitanya was practically running. He was so eager to see Lord Jagannath. He just was running and running and running, and his eagerness was rising higher and higher and higher. And when they approached Jagannath Puri, when they came to this border of Jagannath Puri, at Haranala, this famous bridge which leads to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya, he became completely mad. And even though his companions, his associates were trying to make up and were trying to run behind him, they just couldn't make it. So at that point, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw this chakra on the top of Jagannath temple, he became mad, he fell unconscious, and then he got up and he started running like lightning. And even though Nityananda Prabhu and others were trying to catch him or to chase after him, they couldn't. So he was the first one to run into the temple of Lord Jagannath. And when he ran into the temple of Lord Jagannath and he saw these majestic figures of Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, he ran so quickly, he wanted to embrace Lord Jagannath. He just ran directly towards these deities. And when the guards of the Lord saw it, they became really, really angry with him. And they started running behind him, trying to beat him. It was very dangerous, because even now, if you do some mischief in Lord Jagannath's temple, you will be severely beaten, no matter who you are. You may be a sannyasi, but... the guards of Lord Jagannath, they say, the guards of the Lord himself, all these sannyasis, they're nobody in front of us. So he was running there, but then just before reaching the Lord, he just fell unconscious, totally unconscious. You can see this huge figure, high sannyasi with beautiful golden complexion, and he's totally unconscious. And the guards were trying to beat him still. They ran to him and they wanted to drag him out from the temple to punish him. And they would do it, but at that time it so happened that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the guru and the most famous person in the whole of Puri, the guru of Maharaja Prataparudra, he came to rescue Lord Chaitanya. Somehow or other he saw this beautiful figure and he was somewhat attracted in the beginning. He protected him and he said, don't touch him. And at that very moment, it was later. And he said to these guards, you please take this sannyasi to my home. He saw something special in this sannyasi. He saw his unusual appearance, very beautiful, huge lotus-like eyes, you know, very tall, golden skin. And most amazing was the clear effulgence which is coming from his body. This effulgence was always there in Lord Chaitanya, but when he would become unconscious in his samadhi, in his complete absorption in the Lord, in his absorption in the love of God, this effulgence would become very clear, very bright, you know, really like sun. Sometimes he would show this effulgence like to Prakashananda Saraswati, but usually consciously he would conceal this effulgence. But during this samadhi state, his unconscious state, this effulgence would become very, very strong. So he asked, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked the guards, please take him to my home. So they took this sannyasi, this ascetic tapasvi, to his home. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya started studying him. He was looking at this person. And his initial thought was, who is he? He must be somebody not from this world. And then somehow or other, he was an atheist. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, before meeting with Lord Chaitanya, he was a Vedic scholar, he was an atheist. He believed in Vedas, but he didn't believe in God as such. He believed in some maybe impersonal power or something like this. And he was, yes, as I said, he was the greatest logician at that time. He went to Mithila and he studied under Pakshadhara Upadhyaya. And he remembered the whole book, Tattva Chintamani, by heart. Nobody could believe it that he couldn't remember. And he came to Navadvipa and he was the only one who had the book, because all these Biharis, they were keeping this book very, in a very protective way, you know. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was so intelligent. Absolutely brilliant. He remembered the whole book and then he studied all the Vedas. You know, his title Sarvabhauma means that he knew everything. Usually in the Vedic culture, people would specialize in one subject and they would know the very thoroughly one subject matter. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, everyone knew that he knows everything. He knows Vedas, he knows all the philosophies, he knows yajnas, he knows everything. You know, he was totally, completely universal genius. So, and he knew all the Vedas. But then he studies this figure, this form of Lord Chaitanya, and he feels irresistibly attracted to this Lord. irresistibly attracted. An unusual thought crossed his mind. Who is he? He must be Jagannath himself. And then he thought, am I going crazy? Jagannath himself? No. His rational nature and his real understanding of God are coming into conflict at that point. But then he said, maybe he's some deva, some celestial being coming here. You know, he's so unusual, so beautiful, so attractive, and my heart is so, it's just, you know. And somehow or other, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, immediately when he saw Lord Chaitanya, he paid his obeisances, which was very unusual to him because he was the most important person in the whole of Puri. Everyone would pay obeisances to him, and he would not pay obeisances to anyone. So, but then he started examining in more detail Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was breathing heavy. He was not breathing. He was practically, his whole life force was inside. And hardly any breath was coming out. So, and then it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, then when Prakashananda Sarasvati was studying him, he thought, oh, that must be Prem. What I see, I read in Vedic literature that there is this most amazing and most developed state of consciousness, love of God, it Prem. That must be it. This young sannyasi probably is experiencing Prem. And he knew all the symptoms of Prem. And again, very unusual thought crossed his mind. I also want to have some Prem. Never he had this thought before, you know, Prem. Yeah, come on. But at that point, when he sees Lord Chaitanya, he said, oh, I also want to have some Prem. And then at that point, Nityananda Prabhu and Jagadananda and Mukunda and others, they came to know that Lord Chaitanya was there in the temple, and then he was brought, that he fainted, and then he was brought to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, and they knocked at the door and said, can we come in? Is our master here? And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, yes, he's here. And then they said, we know how to revive him. There is only one way to revive him. This is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then they started chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, in a very loud way and in a very ecstatic way. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he felt, it's nice, Hare Krishna. And he started saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. And then he said, oh, sentimental people. These people, they don't have any logic. And then Lord Chaitanya, immediately he jumped up. And he started again chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he noticed that he's also jumping, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. He said, no, forget it. I'm a professor of Nyaya. I should behave myself in a proper way. So then, he sent Lord Chaitanya and his associates before giving them lunch to the ocean to take bath. And at that time, Gopinath Acharya comes to him, his brother-in-law, who was a devotee at heart and who heard about Lord Chaitanya, and immediately upon seeing him, he believed him. Immediately he thought, that is God himself, for sure. So Gopinath Acharya comes to him. It was actually later, it was the next day, but it doesn't matter. It's the story, you know. The next day Gopinath Acharya came to him, After Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya little correction. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from taking bath, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being the host and a person of Vedic culture, he started feeding him prasadam, and he paid obeisances to him. Initially, as I said, spontaneously he wanted to pay obeisances to him. But then he started asking, who are you and where are you from? And then he realizes he's from Navadvip. Of course, he doesn't remember this little student of him, you know. And he finds out that he is a son of a poor Brahmana, Jagannath Mishra. And he knows Jagannath Mishra. And he says, oh, Jagannath Mishra. And Nilambar Chakravarti, oh, Nilambar Chakravarti. Yeah, my father was studying with Nilambar Chakravarti, with your grandfather. And I was studying with Jagannath Mishra. And, you know, and his rational nature takes over. And he says, no. He's just a, you know, he's just a confused youth. He took sannyas. God knows why did he take sannyas. How he can take sannyas in such a young age. You know, and he looks at him and he says, yeah. He's probably just one of those illiterate sannyasis. Ignoramus sannyasis, which are, you know, going around begging for some food. And he starts looking at Lord Chaitanya with contempt. See, it's very important because I read one book, it's a beautiful book by Kanupriya Goswami, and he says there that the lilas of Lord Chaitanya, which he performed during his presence in this earth, they will be repeated again and again and again and again. You know, he delivered only one jaga and madai. But his lilas are going on, and so many jagais and madais are being converted or delivered in this age. And he delivered one Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But so many Sarvabhauma Bhattacharyas will be delivered by Lord Chaitanya even later. So what we can see here in this particular lila, the encounter of this rational mind, atheistic mind, with something totally extraordinary, and how the atheistic mind fights against this extraordinary experience and try to take over and defeat this extraordinary experience and ultimately forget about God. Why I'm telling this? Because this is exactly what happened with me. I'm a scholar by background and I'm totally, completely rational and I have no heart. Maybe a little bit. Because of the influence of all the great Vaishnavas I have met with in my life. But anyway, when I first met with the devotees, I was not impressed at all. You know, very strange people. Really strange people. Doing some strange things, and my rational mind was fighting so vehemently against this. Initially, you know, I heard my friend, I was a university student in my last year of my university studies, and I heard my friend under the shower chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the sound was very attractive. But immediately the mind said, he must be crazy. Why is he chanting this? What is this? And of course I didn't know who is Krishna and Hare, you know, and I was listening again and again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Little did I know that I will be chanting this Hare Krishna and convince others to chant Hare Krishna my whole life. So was very strange, you know. In Russia, in the Soviet Union at that time, it was totally, completely unusual. Somebody, Hare Krishna, under the shower. Why under the shower, you know? Anyway, so, and I remember very clearly how my rational mind was trying to find so many arguments against this. And how my rational mind was trying to defeat this crazy Hare Krishnas. And how my rational mind was trying to say that there is no God and it's just sentimental ideas of some Indians or whatever. You know, at the same time, what goes on in the mind, why the mind is so vehemently trying to prove this? Because the mind at that time was trying to prove you are superior. The point of the mind was, you're superior, you're better. And in the same way, the same thing happened with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Initially, he was attracted by the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, attracted by his, chanting and his beautiful state of samadhi. He was totally attracted, and spontaneously he was paying obeisances. But immediately, his mind started fighting with this experience. And he felt very blissful inside. When we encounter with devotees and with their state of consciousness, we become very blissful. You know. But then the rational mind wakes up and says, no, this is not the way to become blissful. Wait a second, this is something strange. Don't do this, you know, it's, no. So, and immediately, he developed a very arrogant attitude towards the Lord. He's just from a poor family, poor Brahmin, you know, sannyasi. And then when he found out that he took sannyas in Bharati Sampradaya, he became even more arrogant. He said, Bharati is the lowest of all. There are 10 orders of sannyas in Shankaracharya Sampradaya, and Bharati is the... Oh my goodness, oh phew, Bharati. You know, Sarasvati, yeah. Sarasvati is the highest, you know, Bharati. And then immediately he developed this idea, I will save this boy. This boy need to be saved, and I will save this boy. He took sannyas without thinking twice. I will initiate him. I will give him sannyas from the Sarasvati order. He will become, you know, under my patronage. He will become nice. You know, now he's a little strange, but he will become nice. Immediately, he developed this Guru Abhiman. He wanted to teach Lord Chaitanya, Lord himself. Immediately, he developed this attitude towards the Lord. And then, you know, next day, as I said, Gopinath Acharya came. And Gopinath Acharya, his brother-in-law, because his wife was the sister of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Gopinath Acharya started saying something with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, speaking with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, so how is this boy? You know, he needs to be saved. He's little premature. He took sannyas so early. And I will teach him. I will definitely teach him, and I will reinitiate him into this Sarasvati order. Gopinath Acharya, initially he didn't want to say anything to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, but when he heard this, he became really angry. He said, who you think you are? You're just scholar. You're just nyayik, you're just logician. He's Lord himself, he's God himself, he incarnated here to save crazy people like you. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a very cultured person. He was very polite. He says, yes. Of course he is God. Of course, yeah. Of course he is God. Who else he could be? Of course he is God. And his pupils, his shishyas, his disciples were there, and they were just... They were laughing, you know, oh, he's God, yeah, of course. Because he's from Bengal, Right. Sarva Bambadacha, he has this attitude, you know, he's just a young Brahmin boy, you know, he's very young. How he can be God? He cannot be God. No way he's God. No way. So, and then, and Gopinath Acharya, when he heard this, and he said, by the way, can you invite again this God to my house to take some lunch, you know, invite this God to my house. And when he said this, he said it with such contempt and such sarcasm, you know, invite this God to my house. I will feed this God. So Gopinath Acharya, he became really angry. He was so angry. Again, initially he didn't want to argue with Sarvabhaumabhattacharya because he knew that it's useless to argue with Sarvabhaumabhattacharya. No matter what you say to Sarvabhaumabhattacharya, Sarvabhaumabhattacharya will say something else. And he knows the logic and he knows, you know, the Vedas better than anyone else. So Gopinath Acharya, he gives the argument. He says, you know what? I will prove to you that he is God. Sarvabhaumabhattacharya says, how, my dear sir, how you will prove me that he is God? And he quotes this verse. Athapita deva padam bujadvayam prasadalesano grahiteva hi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimna eko pichiram, how you say, nachanya eko pichiram vichinvat. So, you cannot know God because you don't have mercy of God. You cannot know God. You don't know that he is God because you don't have the mercy of God. That's the reason why you don't understand that he is God. That's the only reason you don't understand that he is God, because there is no mercy of God upon you. And Sarvabhaumabhattacharya, he smiled. He said, yeah, it's a very strange logical argument. He said, I agree that there is no mercy of God upon me. But how you can prove that there is mercy upon of God upon you? You says you know that he is God, but first you have to prove that you have the mercy of God. And it's, you know, it's very arrogant to say, I have a mercy of God. You don't have a mercy of God. I have a mercy of God. Therefore, I understand who is God, and you don't understand who is God. You are, you know, a dull person, and I am, you know, because I have a mercy of God. So he gave this argument to Gopinath Acharya. And Gopinath Acharya, he answered in a very nice way. He gave a very beautiful answer to this argument. He says, how do you know that there is mercy upon God upon you, or there is no mercy upon God, or God upon you? And he says that the lakshana, the sign of the mercy of God upon you, is that you can recognize God everywhere. He gave this very beautiful argument. Listen, it's very important. It's also very important in the context of what we are doing here in this beautiful Eco Village, Govardhan Eco Village. He says that if you don't have a mercy of God, even if you see God himself in front of you, you will not recognize him. Krishna himself came to Duryodhan, and Krishna showed his universal form to Duryodhan. Duryodhan, by his own eyes, saw Krishna showing universal form. And what was his conclusion? Oh, just some mystic power, you know. Cheap trick. You know, you can see God himself in front of you. Sometimes people say, show me God. The problem with this statement is that even if we show you God, you will not believe that he is God. People with this rational mind, because they don't have any mercy of Krishna, even if you show them God, they will not recognize God. Recently I saw some comments on the internet. You know, as you may know, during this Kirtan Mela in Mayapur, Chaitanya, Panchatattva Deity started crying. There were tears gliding the cheeks of Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit. You know, and I read some comments. Oh, this is some condensed water fell down. Yeah, of course, condensed water. What else it could be? It's condensed water. How, you know, metal Lord Chaitanya can cry? No, you cannot cry. So that's the point. You know, if you have this rational attitude, you will not recognize God anywhere. But the argument of Gopinath Acharya is very beautiful. It's extremely beautiful. He says, the mercy of God is that you can recognize God everywhere. The lack of mercy of God, the sign of the lack of mercy or the absence of mercy of God is that you don't recognize God anywhere, even if He is in front of you. But the sign of the mercy of God is that you see something and you see this is God. It's the energy of God. It's connected with God. It's so beautiful. People see this world and then they say, you know, no way it's coming from God. And the same, the other people, they see this world and they say, where else it can come but from God? There's a very interesting argument. There is this people, evolutionists and creationists. Evolutionists, they say that this is, you know, all this beautiful creations like human beings and animals and plants, this is all design. This is what creationists say. It's all very intelligently designed, so much intelligence is there, so beautiful it is. How, you know, how it can be coming from some inert nature. And evolutionists say, no, it's just natural evolution, natural process. So it's interesting. They study the same thing, and they come to completely different conclusions. The creationists, they see only beauty, and they say it's all coming from the Lord, and it's all, you know, there is so much intelligence in it. Everything is so intelligently designed. You know, the human being, we can see everything is so purposefully done, is so intelligent, everything is in its place, and it's so functional and everything. You know, those who don't believe in God, they look at the same phenomenon and they say, no, how, if somebody is intelligent, how he can create something so imperfect? They study, you know, and that's a fact. Human body, is it perfect or imperfect? Is it perfect or imperfect? It's perfect from our point of view, but we see so many imperfections in it, right? You know, and they say, if it was God, He could have done something better. So it cannot be God. It's so imperfect. They just don't understand. Yes, it's perfect in one sense, it's imperfect in another sense, because this is the perfect plan to create something imperfect for us not to think that this is the permanent place. So this is a perfect place, the perfect plan to create imperfect world. So people cannot understand. They see all these imperfections. They say, God cannot be behind this. But those people who believe in God, who have mercy of God, they say, who else can be behind such perfectly imperfect plan? Who else can be behind this? You know, it's so ingenious, the whole thing. So what Gopinath Acharya says, he gives this very beautiful argument. He says that this is the sign of mercy. You see the manifestation of God's energy, you immediately understand, yeah, God is there behind it. And if you don't see it, if you see some manifestation of divine power, which we see every time, you know, sometimes people think, show me some miracle. What other miracles you need to see? You know, every living entity is a miracle. Every little leaf in this tree is a miracle. You know, the miracles are, so many miracles are around us. Every human being is a miracle. So he gives this argument to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. This is the sign of mercy of God, if you can see this And what we do, we actually, that's what we are trying to do here. You are trying to do here, and I'm, you know, coming and enjoying here by the fruits of your hard labor. We are trying to show the world that God is everywhere, and His kingdom is everywhere. It is said very clearly by Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamritam that kingdom of God is everywhere. You know, the spiritual world is everywhere. You don't have to go anywhere. Kingdom of God is here in this Govardhaneka village. You don't have to wait till you go to kingdom of God. It's here. And therefore we're manifesting this kingdom of God, this Govardhan and Yamuna and everything. And it's there. God is there. Everything is there. God is here. He is present with us. And Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya said, yes. Very nice. Please invite this God again. I want to feed him. You know? And then he laughs for himself. All this, you know, he says to his students, all this crazy, sentimental people. He's a nice sannyasi. He's very humble. When I told him I want to protect you, he said, yeah, thank you very much. And all these people, they bow down to him. They want to spoil this nice person. And I will protect him. I will definitely protect him. So I will finish very soon. I'm really sorry I was a little carried away by this. So Gopinath Acharya, he became so disturbed by this encounter with Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. And while leaving Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he said, very soon you will get the mercy of God, and at that point you will understand that He is God Himself. And then he goes to his home. And he comes in front of his deities. And he takes little water in his hand. And he makes the sankalpa. And he says, my dear Lord, I will not take even a morsel of food unless this guy, Sarvabhauma, believes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God Himself. Even if I have to die. So this is my solemn vow in front of him. Not a morsel of food goes to me unless he believes, no matter how long it takes. And he becomes very happy and relieved, and he says, oh, yeah, and he says, very soon this Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, this atheist, will become a bhakta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And he goes to Mukunda and says, you know, Mukunda, this Sarvabhaum is too much. But anyway, very soon he will become a believer and devotee of the Lord, because he will believe that Lord Chaitanya is God. And then Lord Chaitanya himself comes. And Gopinath Acharya says, you know, this Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he wants to feed you. And Lord Chaitanya says, oh yeah, really, very nice, so kind of him. Yeah, very nice, I will go to him. And he wants to protect you. And Lord Chaitanya says, yes, it's very nice of him. He wants to protect me. He knows I'm so young and my senses are so strong. Yeah, it's very nice. And he wants to initiate you. Oh yeah, it's very nice. He wants to initiate me. He wants me to give me the higher order of sannyas. Yeah, very nice. And he wants to teach you. And, you know, Gopinath Acharya, very sarcastic. His meaning of his speech is that who he thinks he is to teach you, to protect you, to say. And Lord Chaitanya, he's very simple. He says, yes, very nice. Thank you. I'm so grateful to him. So he says, and he wants to teach you Vedas. And Lord Chaitanya says, yes, it's very important. I'm a sannyasi and I'm little illiterate, you know. It's very important. Let him teach me. Very nice. And Mukunda, who is sitting nearby, he says, you know what he means to say to you? He means to say that he will not take any food anymore. He says, Lord Chaitanya becomes very surprised. He says, why? Why he doesn't want to take any food anymore? Because he doesn't like what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is doing to you. And unless he surrenders to you, he will not take any food. And you better do something that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would surrender to you. Otherwise, Gopinath Acharya will be dead after some days. And Lord Chaitanya, he smiles. He says, yeah, the Lord, he protects his devotees. I'm sure he will protect Gopinath Acharya as well. No problem. He probably will protect him. And we know that Lord Chaitanya goes to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is very proud. He says, okay, now you sit, I will teach you Vedas. Listen very carefully. And Lord Chaitanya, he listens very carefully. One day listens very carefully, second day, third day, fifth day, six days he listened very carefully. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he became a little doubtful, what's going on, why he just sits and listens 6 days. Can you imagine 6 days? The Lord himself, Bhagavan himself, the most brilliant student of the Vedas, about whom Bhagavad Gita says, Vedascha Sarvara Hameva Vedyo, he listens some nonsense Shankaracharya explanation of the Vedas. That Lord is impersonal, that there is just Brahman, and he listens and listens and listens. And ultimately, on the seventh day morning, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asks, why you didn't ask me anything during these 6 days? And he said, because you ordered me to listen, you didn't order me to ask. You didn't tell me to ask. If you would tell me to ask, I would ask you. But you didn't tell me to ask. You told me to listen, and I was listening and listening and listening. And did you understand something? What I explained? He said, no, I don't understand anything. Why you didn't ask? Because what is the use of asking you? Because you're just giving some confused explanations. I understand what you want to explain. I mean, the sutras themselves, but I don't understand what you're talking about. And we know the story goes that, you know, he explains and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya becomes amazed and he says, who he is? He must be Brihaspati. He doesn't go further than Brihaspati. Not yet. And then Lord Chaitanya says, yes, you know this Atmarama shloka, it's a very nice shloka that ultimately says that even those people who realize Brahman, they become attracted to personal God. They feel attraction to the personal qualities of God. And they become completely immersed in this personal pastimes and description of personal qualities of God. And he says, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, can you explain to me this shloka, Atmaram shloka? And Lord Chaitanya says, no, first you explain to me this Atmaram shloka. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, immediately his pride springs up. He says, this is my chance to establish my, you know, he is good, but I'm not bad too. Immediately he again wants to establish himself on the same level as Lord Chaitanya. Still he is not surrendered. Still there is still this rivalry, competition, intellectual competition going on in his mind. So immediately he says, okay, I will explain to you Atmaram shloka. It's very nice. And he starts explaining one way, another way, another way. 9 ways he explains. And he becomes, oh, phew, 9 ways. Well, nice. I didn't know that I know so much. You know, it's very nice, very nice. And Lord Chaitanya says, yeah, very nice, very nice. But this is all useless. He says, you just gave some scholarly explanation. But this is not the explanation what really Sutta Goswami wants to means when he says this. And he starts explaining and explains 64 different ways he explains this Atmaram shloka. 64 different. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then he says, you must be God. No, you are God. And he falls flat on the floor and he catches the feet of Lord Chaitanya and he becomes trembling, you know, yeah, ah. And then he looks up and he saw this figure with six arms, you know, with his bow and arrow and with his flute and with his kamandalu and dana. And then he faints in complete feet of Krishna prayer. And then when he's revived, Lord Chaitanya is fanning him and saying, oh, what's wrong with you? What happened to you? Did you see something unusual? He says, yes, I did see something unusual. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And he started running and saying, Hari, 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 Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Anyway, this is how he became Bhakta. And ever since, he never tried to feel himself superior to Lord Chaitanya. Always, ever. Despite his young age, he was twice of his age or even more. More. He was probably some 40 years older than Lord Chaitanya. So despite of his complete difference, he became his obedient, humble devotee, saying, yeah, now I understand what it means to get the mercy of the Lord. And the mercy of the Lord is there. And the mercy of the Lord, the question which I, from the very beginning, I asked, how to get the mercy of the Lord? The mercy of the Lord comes only by the mercy of a devotee. He became Bhakta only by the mercy of Gopinath Acharya. Only by the prayer and determination of Gopinath Acharya. Such a staunch logician and nyayik and atheist became a devotee of the Lord. And this is how it is. And we all became a devotee of the Lord because of the mercy of some other devotees. This is the way to get the mercy of the Lord. And for that, we need this movement which is spreading the mercy of the Lord through the mercy of devotees. Now, there is a nice story which I finish with. The story Giriraj Maharaj, he explains how he became a devotee of the Lord. Says he was a student from this Harvard University, from the best university, from very rich background and everything. And he came to see Srila Prabhupada, and he was initially not so much impressed because he thought that Lord God is impersonal, and he wanted to become God. There was a big poster in his room in the hostel, something like this. Somebody was showing, you are God. And then he started asking Prabhupada some questions, challenging questions. And Prabhupada would answer these questions. And then he asked Prabhupada, how do you recognize the bona fide spiritual master? And Prabhupada says, it depends what you want. Whether you want to become God or you want to become a servant of God. And immediately he saw this poster in his room, you are God. And he realized Prabhupada knows something. Anyway, so what goes, you know, he became little interested and he started coming to the temple and ultimately he became a Bhakta. And 1 year passed. And he even moved to the temple, or wanted, was about to move to the temple. And again, Prabhupada came 1 year after, and he gave a lecture. And Giriraj Maharaj raised his hand and asked his question. And he said, Prabhupada, do you remember me? And Prabhupada said, yes, yes, I remember you. Last year you asked so many questions. And when you asked so many questions, I thought, such a nice boy, let him become a devotee. And Giriraj Maharaj says, yeah, then I realized why I became a devotee. Because, you know, Prabhupada, he thought, let him become a devotee. So this is how it is. You can recognize God. Lord Chaitanya is God. There is no doubt about it. But you can recognize him as God only if you have a mercy of God. How you can get a mercy of God? Then you have to serve a devotee. You have to be with devotee and to get the mercy of devotee. In this way you can recognize Lord Chaitanya as God and understand the innermost essence of all the Vedas, that is Prema Bhakti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. Okay. Enough. Maybe in the evening. I'm really sorry, Kondai Prabhu. They're okay, they're eager. Maybe in the evening, Kante Prabhu had some, you know, time. Okay? I see. Marathi crowd. Okay.
Tomorrow morning, Bhagavatam class.
Okay. Kante Prabhu, tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Oh, sure.